ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Those who unnecessarily engage in bodily conceptions and create an atmosphere of materialism are always ignorant of their real self-interest. Out of His causeless mercy, Lord Vishwadev taught the self's real identity and the goal of life. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the Lord who appeared as Lord Vishwadev.
Purport. This is the summary of this chapter in which the activities of Lord Rishabhdev are described. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Rishabhdev is complete in Himself. We living entities, as paths and parcels of the Supreme Lord, should follow the instructions of Lord Rishabhdev and become self-sufficient. We should not create unnecessary demands due to the bodily conception. When one is self-realized, he is sufficiently satisfied due to being situated in his original spiritual position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochati Na Kankshati. This is the goal of all living entities. Even though one may be situated within this material world, he can become fully satisfied and devoid of hankering and lamentation simply by following the instructions of the Lord as set forth in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Satisfaction through self-realization is called Swarupa Ananda. The conditioned soul, eternally sleeping in darkness, does not understand his self-interest. He simply tries to become happy by making material adjustments, but this is impossible. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nati vidu swartha gatin hi vishnam. Due to gross ignorance, the conditioned soul does not know that his real self-interest is to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. To try to become happy by adjusting the material atmosphere is a useless endeavor. Indeed, it is impossible. By his personal behavior and instructions, Lord Rishabhdev enlightened the conditioned soul and showed him how to become self-sufficient in his spiritual identity. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that if all the books in the world were destroyed and only the Srimad Bhagavatam was left, that would be sufficient, because the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate knowledge for human society. And everything else outside of this knowledge is misleading. Reading this purport and thinking that even if all the books in the world were destroyed and only this purport was left, that would be more knowledge than all of human society. You can go here to Foyle's bookshop, the biggest bookshop in the world, and go through all the books, so many varieties of books, so many different subjects, but nothing, or if they have Prabhupada's books, I think they do have. There's nothing like this. Just clear instruction. Just even one line in synopsis, it summarizes so many important points, just like we have this line. We should not create unnecessary demands due to the bodily conception. At the present time, there's a lot of interest in the Western world for back to nature, become green, all this kind of idea. But why? What is the root cause? Why did this whole society become so much insane in the first place that we think that human life means to run around in tin can civilization, motor car civilization, and build big buildings? And anyway, you can write, that's another whole book you can write about the insanity of human civilization. Prabhupada wrote long ago. You'll find, even at that time in the early 60s, the whole world was thinking we're making progress and what a wonderful civilization we're making. But Prabhupada wrote, when he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, in that verse, Kamasya Nindriya Pritya, that life's desire should not aim towards sense gratification. So in the purport, Prabhupada opens it up. The completely bewildered modern civilization, even at that time, it wasn't that he had to wait to see the result, but even then he could see that the whole society is completely bewildered and misdirected. So this, that's why we have this green movement. But what is the root cause of the problem? Here Prabhupada has summed it up. We should not create unnecessary demands due to the bodily conception. The root cause is philosophical. People don't understand why. What is the purpose of life? Here also Prabhupada gives, this is the goal of all living entities. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Shochati Na Kankshati. The goal of all living entities is what? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana, to become happy. That is the goal of life. I remember that London Broadcasting Corporation, Mike Robinson, he interviewed Prabhupada at the Manor. That comes in the Science of Self-Realization. Afterwards, Prabhupada said that 90% of our philosophy is in that interview. So this Mike Robinson, he asked Prabhupada, what is the goal of life? And I thought Prabhupada would say to understand God or to give up sense gratification, to execute austerity or something. Prabhupada said the goal of life is to become happy, to enjoy. That's what he said. The goal of life is to enjoy. So I was surprised because usually you hear Prabhupada saying we should give up the enjoying spirit. But then Prabhupada explained, Anandamaya Bhyasat. The supreme absolute truth is full of pleasure, and as parts and parcels of the absolute truth, we're also full of pleasure. But in the material condition, we don't know what our actual condition of pleasure is. So our real pleasure is to link up with the reservoir of pleasure. Rama means the reservoir of pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama padenaso param brahma vidhiyate. The absolute truth is known as Rama. He is known as, he is searched after by the yogis because he is the reservoir of pleasure. So people don't know this, therefore those who are a little bit enlightened, who are not absolutely 100% bewildered, or maybe only 98% bewildered, they can see that there's something seriously wrong with this civilization. I mean, it doesn't really take a tremendous insight to see that this whole modern civilization is sick, vomit-worthy. They should just throw it all out. But what is the solution? They don't know. Some people, they'll be into let's be green, but they'll also grow some green marijuana and smoke that. And interested in spiritual life. But what is spiritual life? Even those people who are interested in spiritual life, they're also totally bewildered. Why? That also, in this verse, the clue is given. Those who are necessarily engaged in bodily conceptions and create an atmosphere of materialism are always ignorant of their real self-interest, because people don't know the basic fact that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, we are eternal servants of Krishna. And without knowing that, even if they go into so-called spiritual life, it has no basis, it has no foundation. Just like you get into mathematics, but you don't learn 2 plus 2 equals 4, 2 times 3 equals 6. If you don't learn the basics, then even if you superficially learn calculus, I remember I had this torture of doing mathematics at school. So we are doing all this calculus and all this, but I never bothered to learn my times tables properly. So even though I superficially understood how to do all this calculus, I always got the thing wrong because I'd always make some multiplication mistake. So somewhere along the line I'd make some mistake. So I had to go through the whole thing. Such a headache. Krishna saved me. Prabhupada saved me. So anyway, the point is that if you don't have your basics right, then everything else is going to be wrong. So even if people become interested in better way of life, back to nature, spiritual life, because they don't know the basic facts that we're not this body, we're the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all meant to serve Him. That little clue, they don't get that, and therefore everything wrong, and they remain within the atmosphere of materialism. You see all these so-called spiritual movements, ultimately they all come back to the same thing, to materialism, to sense gratification, because they don't have knowledge of Anandamaya Vyasat, the supreme reservoir of pleasure. Therefore even their so-called spiritual endeavors, it all ends up, they don't know what spiritual means. Some people think spiritual means smoke a joint. A lot of people think. Or spiritual means, just like someone asked me the other day, well, we were having a program in a hall. And I think she said, well, I think if you were really spiritual, you wouldn't have a program in a hall with a microphone. You'd have it in a park. And what? And then I asked her, so you think the park is spiritual? Just by going to the park, that means spiritual? You don't know what spiritual means. Spiritual means to distinguish between that which is eternal and that which is not eternal. The park is also non-eternal. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Everything in this material world is conditioned by time. But the soul, that is eternal. Ajo nitya shashvato yam parano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul is eternal, ever-existing, undying, primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. So people's, even their conception of spiritual, it's shaped by, actually by the 60s pop culture, this guy with that goat beard, what was his name? Maharishi, they used to call him. He's standing there with a flower and smiling, and has a long beard. And people think this is spiritual, and you just kind of meditate, and you feel peaceful, relaxation, stress control. Now there are so many people all over the world. Jai Radha Lakshman. Teaching meditation. For what purpose? For stress control. Because you live such a stressed out life, you have to have some meditation to relax for some time. Otherwise you're going to get a heart attack. So this is the goal of meditation, to cool you down a bit. While you're constantly revving yourself up. The whole modern civilization is just constant injections of adrenaline through constantly titillating the senses. And go for it, be successful, run. They've always got to be doing something, running somewhere, doing something. But what is the purpose of life? They have absolutely no idea. They don't have time to think about it. And they don't want to have time to think about it. And even if they have any time, no one would think to stop and think, turn on the TV, listen to some rock music. So then meditation. Okay, meditation means you just become completely blank for some time and relax and forget it all and recharge your batteries and then again charge out into the material world and waste more of your time. So this is their idea of spiritual life. They have no, there is no substance. That is why these books, they're so powerful. You see even this one purport. If anyone reads that with their mind a little bit open, it's just every word, every sentence, it's just got so much power in there because it's connected with the source of supreme power, Krishna. And everything else, it may sound nice, it may sound good, do good, be nice, smile at others. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay. But there's no substance in it, it's just some slogan. They say, give peace a chance. But what is that peace? That means you don't harass me, I don't harass you, and we'll all engage in sense gratification peacefully. But what is the goal of, what is the actual meaning of life? They give peace, and what peace? You peacefully live, and peacefully suffer birth, death, old age and disease. It's not very peaceful. Going to see the Yamadutas, you hold up a sign when the Yamadutas come, give peace a chance. They say, forget it. You didn't give those animals peace a chance that you were eating. What to speak, even I was reading yesterday, Prabhupada said, even the non-vegetarians, they're as sinful as the vegetarians. Because they're also eating sin. People think vegetarianism is spiritual. It's not spiritual. Then the monkey and the pigeons would be the greatest sadhus. You see, the monkeys, they go in the forest. Very saintly habit to go in the forest. They go naked. See, they're not concerned with fashions or anything. And they're vegetarian. They're very saintly. But look, they're a monkey. They have no higher goal of life. They don't know what the goal of life is because they're a monkey. So in the same way, if we don't have this knowledge which is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're going to remain in illusion. Those who are necessarily engaged in bodily conceptions and create an atmosphere of materialism are always ignorant of their real self-interest. So we may, nowadays it's a great fashion in our society to bring books by all these New Age gurus who, one of the things they write is, don't become anyone's disciple. But they themselves are writing books and instructing us. Hypocrisy, as usual. So we're very anxious to bring these people because it's what they say sounds very nice, but they are engaged in the bodily conception of life. Even you may say, well, this guy, he teaches so nicely and he believes in God. So what, he believes in God? So he believes in God what? What does he know about God? He believes in God, that's also an extension of his sense gratification, because all these people who believe in God, they think God, he is there. We shall believe in him and he will bless us so we can enjoy sense gratification more. And in future when we die, we'll go to heaven and we'll also enjoy sense gratification there. They're believing in God, alright, it's one step better than the gross atheist. But they don't have any actual knowledge of God. Therefore they remain forever in the bodily conception of life. They are subject to make mistakes, to be illusioned, brahm pramad vipralipsa karana patav, cheating propensity and imperfect senses. So whatever they say, it may sound nice to us if we are not reading Prabhupada's books regularly, it may, what these people say, it may seem to have some substance, but it's not. It's just a tinsel covering on ignorance. They don't know what the goal of life is. Nati vidu swarthakatimhi Vishnu. So if we read Prabhupada's books, then we get knowledge direct from Krishna. Absolute knowledge. What does absolute mean? It means there's absolutely no mistake. There's absolutely no illusion. There's absolutely no cheating propensity. There's absolutely no question of sense gratification on the mundane platform, which is the cause of repeated birth and death, which is the cause of entanglement. These so-called spiritual paths, they may seem to be very good, but they all, let's see, they all lead to the same point. Have you seen sometimes they have this kind of maze? You draw a pencil, but unless you get the right path, then you go so far in, and then you just come back to the same point, like snakes and ladders or something like that. You don't reach the point, you end up with the same thing. So because these people who are purporting to give solutions, they don't even know what the problem is. Therefore, how can they give a solution? Therefore, it all ends up in materialism. They don't know what the actual problem is. They're trying to make solutions. Become green. Grow trees. And people won't be so crazy if we have flowers on the in the center of the road. Well, that's okay. That's partially true. But the actual craziness is still there because they're still trying to enjoy sense gratification. And they don't know what the goal of life is. And they're going to die and get reborn again. So we may have some patchwork solutions by exercising our intelligence in the mundane sphere, but we are tightly bound up by the ropes of materialism. Tepisha tantram urudam nibadha. It's in this verse. Says that those who are materialistic, they are tightly bound up by the ropes of material illusion, and therefore even though they think they are making a better society, they don't know what the goal of life is, therefore they must always be bewildered and they can never get an ultimate solution. Because even if you do make the whole world green and so-called peaceful, what's the goal of life? You're going to have to die. There are so many people all over the world, they say back to nature, but most of the world never left nature. It's just in these Western countries, they're exploiting the rest of the world and living a hyped-up way of life. But most of the world, people still probably most of the people in the world don't have electricity. They don't have water in the tap. You know, water doesn't actually come from taps. Are you aware of that? City people, they think food comes from a shop, in a packet, from a fridge. They see, that looks like a nice piece of meat. Well, maybe you'd like to see how nicely they cut the animal and made with it. They think meat is something which comes in a plastic pack. Water comes out of a tap. Or if you want to get drinking water, you have to buy it in a bottle. And light is something which comes from switching on, pushing a switch. But they don't know that all these are nature's gifts. They have no such idea. But most of the people of the world are still living like that, but it's not that because simply they're living in the country that they're self-realized. Of course, it's true that those who do live close to nature, they tend to believe in God because they know, or at least they believe in higher power or spirits or something, because they know that we're planting the crops, but it's not in our hands. Even the scientists, they'll give us tractors and fertilizers and pesticides and new strains of crops, but there's no guarantee, there's nothing the scientists can do to guarantee the crop. You can plant the seeds, even if you bring irrigation by modern mechanical methods, there's no guarantee that the crop is going to succeed. Because if there's a cyclone, then all the crops are spoiled. Or if there's floods, too much rain, they're dependent upon nature. So they have the tendency to believe in God more. That's true. That is true. But it's not that simply by living in the country you become self-realized. You have to hear from self-realized souls. This is the solution. That the solution to all the problems of the world simply lie in hearing from the right source. Who knows what is the solution to all the problems? How did we get in such an incredible entanglement? And how are we going to get out of it? Simply by trying to, you see if there's a complex knot, you try to pull the string here, but actually it just entangles you more and more. Maybe you know that story of Alexander the Great. There was a very complex knot, so he was asking people, can you loosen this? And so many people were trying. Alexander said, I'll show you. He brought his sword, cut it. And he said, well, anyone could have done that. He said, yeah, but you didn't think of it, I did. So knowledge is power. If you don't have knowledge, then you can fiddle and mess around this way and that way, but you won't come to the solution. If you're in a very complex situation, just like if you're in a maze, you don't know how to come out of it, but if someone shows you, then you can very easily come out of it. So in the same way, Maya is very difficult to overcome. But if one surrenders to Krishna, then he can very easily overcome it. Surrender to Krishna means you have to hear about Krishna from those who know Krishna. They will show you the way. They will guide you. So this is the process. All other processes, they're a failure. They're doomed to failure. There's absolutely no way that all these, you can bring all the New Age gurus in the world and bring all their books and all these different organizations. None of them can help you in the ultimate issue, because none of them can help you to get free from birth and death. None of them can help you to know Krishna. Only the devotees of Krishna can help you to know Krishna, which is the real solution to all problems. It's not that simply by living in the country you're going to become happy, and even if you feel happy, or it's not that by doing some meditation you feel a little peaceful, but that doesn't bring the actual goal of life. That doesn't bring us to the actual point of understanding Krishna, which is our actual swarup, our actual constitutional position. So these books, they are giving a different kind of knowledge altogether. Every other book in the world, Brahm Pramad, Vipralipsa, Karana Partav, mistakes, cheating propensity, illusion, and imperfect senses, they're all full of it, to a greater extent or a lesser extent. They may have some glimmers of truth in it. We're not saying that they're not, that everything in it is completely bogus. They may have some glimmers of truth, just like we often used to quote that British historian Arnold Toynbee, who wrote that the solution to the, what is that, the solution to the world's malady is because we have sold our souls to a gain that is neither attainable. Sold our souls to trying to attain a goal which is neither attainable nor desirable. The cause of the world's malady is spiritual, because we, of course, he didn't know what spiritual meant, but anyway, the point he was making, that's a very good point. That doesn't mean that he is a self-realized soul, but he has some glimmer of insight into where we should be going, or he has some glimmer of insight. But if you want to get the whole picture clear, straight, absolutely correct, then you have to come to Prabhupada's books, in which in every line, very clear, what is the actual situation. Because Prabhupada knows the absolute truth. He is tattva-darshi. That Prabhupada used to say, go to guru, don't go to a fakir. You know what fakir means? That means some kind of, usually Muslim kind of tantric, some kind of cheating guy. On the street corners in the cities in India, there's competition who can get a spot among the fakirs. There's so many of these, so many purveyors of cheap spiritual solutions. You have to go to guru. Guru means tad vijnanatham saguru meva vigachet. If you actually want to understand the absolute truth, you have to go to one who knows. What is that qualification? Then shrotriyam brahmanishtam. He has heard from those who know. He's not simply making something up. And brahmanishtam, he's fixed in that knowledge. That's why you see we have so many videos of Prabhupada memories and so many books about Prabhupada. Why are we so anxious to glorify Prabhupada? Because he knows the absolute truth and he knows how to deliver the absolute truth. Just like Prabhupada said, a devotee of Krishna, he can give you Krishna just like that. Just like that he can give. Because he has Krishna Shetama, Krishna Dite Parav, Tomara Shakati Ancha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Krishna is yours. You have Krishna. You can give him. You have the power to give Krishna. So Krishna, he puts himself in. Krishna, you can't get him.
You can't. There's no material means to get Krishna. But Krishna gives himself to his devotees. He makes himself the property of his devotees. And he gives the power of attorney to his devotees. That you can give him, give Krishna, here, there, everywhere. Of course, a devotee of Krishna will never give Krishna to a unqualified person. But by teaching the followers about Krishna, he gradually makes them qualified, so they can become qualified to take Krishna. Just like Prabhupada is willing to give Krishna, but can we take that gift of Krishna consciousness? Therefore, we have to become purified by following the process of sadhana bhakti. Everything Prabhupada gave, the knowledge in his books, the process he gave, it's absolutely perfect. It's very simple. Rising early in the morning, chanting, hearing, associating with devotees, taking Krishna prasad, preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing these books. Every one of Prabhupada's programs, every one of his plans is 100% perfect to deliver the whole world back to Godhead, to reform the totally bewildered modern civilization. Tadvagrisago, Janataga, Viplavo, Yasmin, Pati Shloka Mabadavati, Namanyan Mita. This Srimad Bhagavatam was predicted 5,000 years ago by Narad Muni when he was speaking to Vyasadeva. He told him to compile Bhagavatam, and he said that these words, even though improperly composed, because they are glorification of Krishna, which is the real medicine for the bewildered civilization. Therefore, it will cause a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. So this is directly predicting Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, because this revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization, what does that refer to? Because previously Srimad Bhagavatam was only spoken among pious people in India. Now it's being spoken among the lechers in the West and all over the world. The impious, misdirected civilization. And what is this point? Abhadabhati api, even though not properly composed. Well, one point is that Prabhupada's English wasn't what you'd call the Queen's English. It was Indianized English. Another point is that English language anyway it's however well you compose it, it's always improperly composed because it's a highly imperfect language. Whatever rules are there, they're all broken. Just like P-U-T, put, B-U-T, but. You see the word, you don't know how to pronounce it. And it's not a systematic, there's some system, but it's mostly a chaotic kind of, it's not a scientific language. So, this Bhagavatam was never previously spoken in such languages. It was spoken in Sanskrit, or in languages derived from Sanskrit, such as Bengali, Hindi, the translations are there, which are also, they follow some system. It's being based on Sanskrit. It's not a chaotic language like English. So 5,000 years ago, this was predicted by Narad Muni, that Vyasadeva, you wrote so many different books, but you didn't directly glorify Krishna, clearly glorify him. Now you have to do that. Why? Because the time will come when these books will cause a revolution in the impious lives of misdirected civilization. In the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a full description of the modern society. Prabhupada said that he used to read in Bhagavatam, Lavanya Kesha Dharanam, that people will think themselves beautiful just by their hairstyle. And Prabhupada said, I used to wonder what this meant. And then he came to the Western country and he saw how much important hairstyle. The people are all different this way, that way, now they have this way, and all different colors. They put so much, dampate viruche hetu, that husband and wife, they will come together simply on the basis of sex attraction. And when the sex attraction, some days they're married, I love you, I love you, and the sex attraction finished, oh, there's some other girl next door much more beautiful than you. I thought you were beautiful, but forget it. Okay. Then marriage, so-called marriage. Marriage is just a polished veneer on animal life. And you see, just look, you see, who's the most glamorous person probably in the world today? who is the person whose name you'll find all over the world? Cafe, Diana, everything all over the world. Diana this, Diana that. She's just a prostitute. Really. I mean, she's just running here and there with different men, showing off her body, and she's glorified. Such a great person. And see, what this is the standard of modern civilization. The great British Empire, the culmination of the British Empire. Princess prostitute Diana. This is they think very nice. This is the highest advancement of civilization. So is it not an impious lives and misdirected civilization? This is clearly spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there. All the knowledge is there with no holds back. Prabhupada doesn't say, well, I'm sorry I have to say this, but we don't think your civilization is exactly. He just says right out, it's all fools and rascals. Why can he say? Because it's true and because Krishna is behind. Krishna himself says, Namang Dushkritino Murha Prabhadyante Naradhamaha Maya Parhitavyana Asuran Bhavamashrita. That those who are not surrendered to me, they're all simply rascals, that's all. They may be type number one, variety number two, three, four, it means either Namang Dushkritino Murha, foolish ass, Naradhama, lowest among mankind. Maya Aparita Jnana, big PhD, no brain. They don't know even they have no idea what the goal of life is. PhD in mating habits of Brazilian caterpillars or some of the stupid things. I mean, it's just amazing. They get research grants. I saw some book, some guy spent his whole life putting worms into tubes and giving them electric shocks. He spent his whole life, and then at the end, he had this theory, and in the end everyone rejected it anyway. Big scientist. And his dream of getting a Nobel Prize was shattered. Poor guy. And then in his next life he has to become a worm millions of times over for killing all those worms. And he's a big brain. Leaders of science. So Maya Aparita Jnana Asuran Bhavam Ashrita, out and out demons, straightforwardly rejecting Krishna. So these are the people who are leading modern civilization, who are the great leaders. Another thing, if you read the Yoga Purana, the newspaper, then you can get all kinds of insights into the modern world. When I go on the plane, I see. So when I was on the plane, I was seeing some football player, £3.5 million, just instead of running around like a kid, kicking around, kicking a ball. That's supposedly what children do, right? He's a grown man, and he's going, instead of doing that for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, now he'll be doing it for Manchester United Football Club, and it's big news. These are big, important people, leaders of modern civilization.
Proper goal. Proper goal.
Football, yeah. So, what is the solution? At least we should look for the solution. We should try to find the solution. But if you want to find the solution, you have to read Prabhupada's books. At least this much we should be convinced. These books are directly written by Krishna. Do you know that? Prabhupada told that. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are very much interested. So nowadays some devotees are very much interested how Krishna is dancing with the gopis and how he's all intimate pastimes with Radharani. But do you know what Krishna is, how he's interacting with us now, right here? He's wrote these books, Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada told that. One time, Bhagavat told us, big Bhagavat. Bhagavat and Tamal Krishnamaraj, Prabhupada called them into his room in Bombay. And he was preaching to some, Prabhupada was preaching to some guests, and Bhagavat came, he just looked in the door, then he went out again, and Prabhupada called him and said, why are you going? He said, well, you're busy, Prabhupada, and I thought I'll come back a little later. Prabhupada said, come, sit down. And then Tamal Krishnamaraj did the same thing, put his head in the door, went out, and Prabhupada called him, come, sit down. So Prabhupada spoke to these guests for half an hour, didn't speak a word to Bhagavat or Tamal Krishnamaraj. Then they left, and Prabhupada turned to them and said that you have to listen to me preach. If you don't listen to me preach, how will you learn to preach? And then Prabhupada asked, he quoted one shloka, and he said, "Do you know the meaning of this shloka?" And Tamal Krishna was looking at Bhagavad, hoping he would say something. Bhagavad was looking at Tamal Krishna, hoping he would say something. Prabhupada said, "You are not reading my books. Every day you must read my books. Do you know that every day I read my books? I read my own books. Do you know why I read my books? Because every day when I read my books, I learn something from my books. Do you know why I learn something from my books? Because every morning when I sit down to write, Krishna comes and personally sits next to me and dictates what to say, and then I write the book. I'm not writing these books. Krishna is writing these books." So this is what Krishna wants. Krishna personally sent Prabhupada, personally told him exactly what to do, personally wrote these books, and Prabhupada said that these books, these are my most important contribution. There was another time this photographer, Bharat Raj, was constantly photographing Prabhupada. Sent him away, so he was very upset. And he called him back and he said, "Well, it's all right taking photos, but not all the time." And then Prabhupada explained that his real contribution is not photos of himself, even though photos of Prabhupada are so wonderful and fun. But the real contribution is his books. Just like that time, the journalist asked Prabhupada facetiously, nastily, "What will happen to this movement when you die?" Prabhupada said, "I will never die. I will live forever in my books. And you will utilize." So Prabhupada is here in these books. Prabhupada is here with Krishna, giving direction. When people get these books, they read these books, it's like a thunderbolt which just goes through thick layers of apathy, illusion, envy of Krishna, desires for sense gratification, goes directly to the soul with no mistakes, cheating, illusion, or sense gratification idea. Just directly connects you to Krishna. Directly, so the goal of life is to understand Krishna. Directly gives that knowledge. And just throws all other kinds of knowledge out, because all other kinds of knowledge is not knowledge. Shevidda avidda jani, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that all kinds of so-called knowledge, if it's not knowledge of Krishna, it's all different varieties of illusion, simply dressed up. That's all. Just like you can dress up a dead body and make it look very nice with lipstick and makeup and a nice suit, but then you go a little closer and see it's simply a dead body. So everything in human civilization without Krishna consciousness is exactly like that. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya jati shastra tapat. What is that? Jati shastra tapat. Apranasya eva dehasya mandanam loka ranjanam. Whatever you may have, even if it's so-called spiritual, even if you're chanting some mantras, whatever you're doing, if it's not Krishna conscious, then it's simply like the decoration on a dead body. It may look nice, but it's disgusting. It's revolting. So the real thing is, the really real substance, Vastavik Vastavik, is Krishna. Outside of Krishna, knowledge of Krishna, everything else is all illusion. These things we will get from Bhagavata. Krishna himself directly says, the Chatushloki, Bhagavata, Vitetam yet pratiyeta, na pratiyeta chatmani. Any kind of knowledge conceived outside of knowledge in relation to me, it is all simply nonsense, meaningless. It doesn't make sense. It may appear to make sense. Why? Because it is the shadow of any kind of knowledge, it is the shadow in the darkness, it is the shadow of real knowledge. So anything, it may seem to make sense, we read so many books and this and that, it appears to have some form and structure, but it's only the shadow. It's not the real thing, it's representation of Durga Devi. Chayeva, yes, she is the shadow of the real thing. And the real thing, that is light, not shadow, is Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Amdaka, Jaha Krishna, Tahana, and Maya Radhika. Where there is Krishna, there is light, there is clarity, everything is straightforward. And once you go away from Krishna, you go into the shadow, you go into the darkness, you go into the illusion. So it's exactly like that. So many people are babbling with so many different ideas, but they're all in illusion. They have no idea what is the goal of life, nor how to attain it. And Prabhupada, in his books, has given everything 100% clearly. So if you want to be self-realized, you have to read Prabhupada's books. And if you want to help others, which if you read Prabhupada's books, you must feel the desire to give this to others, that the whole world needs this knowledge. Anyone who reads these books, the devotees who read these books, they must feel enlivened to distribute this knowledge, because you learn that I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, then that's true of everybody. Then why shouldn't everybody have this knowledge? So that's why Prabhupada said that this, know it for certain, there is no better method of preaching Krishna consciousness than distributing my books. Sometimes we may doubt that, well, we distributed so many books, what happened? We don't know what happened. So many things have happened, and they'll continue to happen. Prabhupada said that that the time will come when the people of the world will appreciate what a valuable thing we've given them in the form of these books. So sometimes you might think, well, maybe after 100 years or 200 years, people will appreciate. But no, right now people are appreciating. I was speaking with Amita Prabhu yesterday, saying now there's overwhelming, increasing demand from the bookshops for our books, because people are walking into the bookshops and saying, I want this book. They want a Prabhupada's books, and then they see other books by His Divine Grace, Easy Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Easy Journey to Other Planets. The Science of Self-Realization. I want this book. They know if they put Prabhupada's books in, they will be purchased. There's so many stories like this all over the world, how people's lives are changing by these books. We, by studying Prabhupada's books, we have the solution to all the problems. We have such an asset. People can't imagine. Those who are looking for solutions, they can get the solutions in Prabhupada's books. But because they're trying to get solutions and maintain their sense gratification at the same time, they may not immediately recognize what is there in Prabhupada's books. What is the valuable thing? Therefore, side by side, Harinam, prasadam distribution, to purify, so that they can get it, so they can understand what is in these books. Anyway, I've already broken the law by 3 minutes. Give me a ticket. We have so much work to do, distributing these books, preaching what is in these books. We have to become convinced that this is the absolute truth, and we just have to stick to this process, go on preaching, teaching, following this program, and wonderful things are going to happen, and wonderful things are already happening all over the world. So many people coming to Krishna consciousness. There's so much interest everywhere. Recently, Keshav Bharati Prabhu wrote to me. He was just helping his mother make her passage out of her body. The last 2 years, he was regularly visiting her. 2 years ago, for all her life, she was against him being a devotee. But just before she left this world, she got initiated. Yeah. Shivra Maharaj. So Keshav Bharati Prabhu, he was preaching in some small towns in California. One was called Oroville, and the other one was called Paradise. You know those places? Oroville. Yeah. So he also had a whole group of people around him, and they gave him a farewell party with all preparations from Yamuna's cookbook. After his mother died, she had all her letters in her life, and he was going through them, including the correspondence with him, how she was against him all his life. And she saw some letter wrote, 33 years old, by a man, said, if you ever find the meaning of life, please let me know. And he managed to contact this man. And he's a professor of physics in the University of California in Irvine, is that how you pronounce it? So he's corresponding with him, and he said, I got your letter that you wrote to my mother. What is the meaning of life? This is the meaning of life. So there are so many things to do. There are so many people, actually. People, of course, in Britain, people have the stiff upper lip, and they don't want to. They may be a little cautious about getting into all these things, but just Yinatina Pukhari and Mana Krishna, somehow or other, make contact with people. Prabhupada said, people are anxious for these books. It's a fact. People are anxious for this nectar. There's no nectar in material life. It's simply suffering. This morning we just came in, I saw one man get into his flashy semi-sports car to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so you see, he's a success by material standards. What success? He's not happy. So just, we have so much stock of knowledge. Whether you want to talk about science, whether you want to talk about art, whether you want to talk about culture, alternative living, reincarnation, vegetarianism, whatever people are interested in, we have got the complete angle on it. We have the knowledge of Krishna, which makes all these different subjects complete. And without knowledge of Krishna, they all remain incomplete. So we have very solid stock substance. There's no substance in anything in material life. It's simply babbling in the wilderness. But this is actual knowledge, direct from the spiritual world. So let us become convinced of that and communicate that to others. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Maharaj, Prabhupada mentions here that
you mentioned about glorification of Srila Prabhupada. How far, what extent will that glorification extend? The reason why I'm asking this is because my own Christian heritage, the history, that's Jesus, the priest, that going back to God, after his disappearance, people would start putting, you know, various levels of ideas of Christ and get higher and higher and higher. So how far will this glorification extend?
This is a very interesting question. How far should the glorification of Prabhupada go? Unlimited. We won't put any limits, because the devotee of God, Krishna himself says, Mad bhakta puja vadika, worship of my devotee is more important than worship of me. However, that worship is with proper knowledge. If we go out, if we go beyond the limits of proper knowledge, then it's no longer glorification. For instance, if we say that Prabhupada himself is directly God, that is no longer glorification, because it's based on a mistake. Glorification of Prabhupada will be based on what he is actually teaching. Actually, this happened at one time. Some of Prabhupada's disciples started saying that he is actually God. He was furious because they misunderstood. When we glorify Prabhupada, simultaneously Krishna is glorified, because we can't think of Prabhupada without thinking of Krishna. And at least for those who have come to Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada, we can't think of Krishna without Prabhupada. And when we think of Prabhupada, what is Prabhupada doing? He's always glorifying Krishna. So the two things go on simultaneously. But still, Krishna himself says that worship of my devotees is better than worship of me. And we have to worship Krishna's devotees before we worship Krishna. That's why in the Christian tradition it's said that Jesus is God. Well, in one sense that's true. We also say that the Guru is as good as God. He is, in other words, he is to be worshipped as good as God, because he is the representative of God. He's non-different from God in as much as he totally represents the interest of God. Just like we say Jesus is the Son and God the Father. So the Son is inseparable from the Father. So still there's a difference. We say he's as good as God. Why? Because Prabhupada gives knowledge of Krishna as good as Krishna himself. If Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, if you hear the same message from Prabhupada, who's heard that in disciplic succession, who is self-realized in that knowledge, it is, you'll get the same effect as Arjuna hearing from Krishna, if you submit and surrender as much as Arjuna did. In other words, the same benefit that you can get from Krishna, you can get from Prabhupada. The same benefit you can get from directly speaking to Krishna, you can get from reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that sense he's non-different from God, because he delivers God. But in another sense he's not God. He's not the creator, maintainer and destroyer of millions of planets. He's the servant of God. So worship of Prabhupada should be unlimited, but that should be on the basis of the knowledge he has taught us. Real glorification of Prabhupada means to follow what he says, which means that we should glorify him as the Guru. Not that he wants to be glorified, but that is the system that Krishna has set up, so he has to follow it. But that should be on the basis of proper knowledge. Any other question? Hare Krishna.